Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. And today we're tackling a really important topic.
Yeah.
It's making sure those international development projects actually make a real difference.
Absolutely.
Like they're supposed to. And, you know, you shared this great research article that's going to help us unpack this whole thing.
Yeah, it's something that really deserves a closer look.
Totally. So the article is called An Agency Theory Unpacking of How Monitoring and Evaluation Affect International Development Project Impact.
Catchy title.
And it comes from the International Journal of Project Management. And it really digs into why so many of these projects, you know, they just don't deliver. They fail to deliver. And it uses this really interesting theory. It's called agency theory.
Okay.
You know, usually you see it in the business world, but they use it to explain what's going on here.
Yeah, that's what I thought was so interesting about this article.
Yeah.
The authors really focus on that relationship between, you know, the people who fund a project.
Right.
And the people who are actually out there
implementing,
doing the work. Yeah.
And they're saying that can actually make or break a project.
It really can.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it's easy to overlook that side of things.
Yeah, you would think.
But it's so crucial.
It makes sense, like, if you think about it, like, you know, these two groups, they could have totally different ideas of what success even means.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what the researchers call
it. What is it?
Goal incongruence.
Okay. Goal incongruence. So, like, imagine someone's hiring a contractor to, like, renovate their house. So they're the principal, right? They've got this vision, and the contractor's the agent. They're doing the work.
Right.
But what if, like, I want a super modern look.
Yeah.
And my contractor is, like, all about these traditional techniques.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to end up with something.
Not quite right.
Yeah, not what anybody really wanted.
A mismatch of expectations.
Totally. So in development projects, you could have like a funder who's all about hitting a certain number of beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. But the implementer, the person on the ground, they see that it needs to change.
Right. They need to adapt to the local context.
Yeah, to make a lasting impact.
Exactly. And then you've got this other issue, this information asymmetry.
Okay.
It's like with the contractor. Right? Let's say they run into a problem, they find like outdated wiring or something.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know about that unless they told you.
Right. And then boom.
Project's flat.
Everything's off track.
Budget's blown.
So it's that communication breakdown.
Yeah. Lack of transparency.
Exactly. And in international development, I feel like that gap can be even bigger.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you've got funders who might be, you know, thousands of miles away.
Right.
Just relying on reports to figure out what's actually going on.
So the article's saying that inadequate monitoring and evaluation, that's a big part of the problem.
Yeah, those are key factors.
Okay, so walk us through, like, what do those terms even mean in this context? And how can they help bridge that gap?
So monitoring, it's basically just keeping a really close eye on the project as it's happening, making sure things are on track, resources are being used well.
Mm-hmm.
All the activities are lining up with the project's goals.
So regular checkups, basically.
Yeah, exactly like a doctor would do.
Okay, got it. And then evaluation, that's kind of the bigger picture look, right?
Yeah, evaluation is more about stepping back.
Okay.
And assessing, you know, are we getting value for money?
Mm-hmm.
What's the actual impact on the community? Are we achieving the outcomes we set out to achieve?
Not just checking boxes.
Right. It's about looking deeper.
So what did the researchers find?
Yeah.
Like when they actually looked at the impact of this monitoring and evaluation, they did a real study for this, right?
Yeah. They did a really interesting study in Pakistan.
Okay.
Worked with 200 development professionals.
Wow.
And they found that monitoring was directly linked to achieving impact.
Interesting.
And it significantly reduced both goal incongruence and information asymmetry.
Oh, wow. So it's like,
it's like that constant communication.
It's keeping everybody on the same page.
Exactly. Working towards the same goals.
Okay. That's huge. What about evaluation that have a similar impact?
That's where things get a little more complicated.
Okay.
Evaluation was great at aligning goals.
Okay.
So everyone had that shared vision, but it didn't have as strong an effect on reducing information asymmetry.
That's surprising.
Yeah. You'd think that taking that deep dive, you know, figuring out what's working, what's not.
Yeah.
You would think that would help bridge that gap. But
it didn't?
It didn't as much as you might expect.
Why do you think that is?
Well, the researchers suggest maybe evaluations, as they're often done, they don't always capture the full picture of what's happening on the ground.
Oh, interesting.
Or maybe that information isn't being communicated effectively.
Okay.
So there's room for improvement in how we approach evaluations to make them truly insightful.
That's really interesting. So it sounds like to really improve the effectiveness of these projects, you really need to invest in robust monitoring.
Absolutely.
And it's not just, like you said, checking boxes. It's about facilitating that communication. Building trust, making sure everybody's working towards the same goals,
Exactly.
and evaluation's just as crucial, but we need to make sure it's done in a way that captures all the
The
complexity,
nuances.
the voices of the community, you know?
Yeah, getting those local perspectives is so important.
Yeah. So this study focused on Pakistan.
Right.
Do you think these findings would hold true in other contexts?
That's a great question.
Or do you think there are some things that might be different?
Yeah, like cultural differences, maybe. That's
Yeah.
a really important point, and it's something we're going to unpack in part two of our deep dive.
Awesome.
So make sure to join us then.
We'll get into all those nuances and look at what this research means more broadly.
It's going to be good.
Can't wait.
So, you know, one of the things that really struck me about this research
Yeah.
is that it's not just about doing monitoring and evaluation.
Right.
It's about how you do them.
It's going to be quality over quantity, right? Not just ticking boxes, but like actually using these tools strategically to make a difference.
Exactly. The researchers found that monitoring was most effective when it was used to foster communication and collaboration. You know, think of it as an ongoing conversation between the funders and the implementers.
So it's about having real discussions, you know,
Yeah.
identifying those challenges early on and making changes
Yeah,
together.
exactly. When monitoring is done well, it builds trust, and understanding funders can see what's happening on the ground, and the implementers have a voice in how the project moves forward.
And it makes sense because it's the implementers who are closest to the community. They have that local knowledge.
They understand the context.
Now, the findings on evaluation were interesting
Yeah.
because they said that even when evaluations are done, they don't always fix that information asymmetry problem.
That's right.
It's kind of surprising
It is.
because you'd think that a thorough evaluation would bring those information gaps to light.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Why do you think that is?
Well, one possibility is that evaluations are often designed to measure very specific things, like they're focused on predetermined indicators, which is important, you know, for tracking progress, it might not capture everything that's happening.
Right, like all those unexpected challenges.
Yeah, or successes even.
So an evaluation might say a project is successful based on those metrics, but miss some really important contextual information.
Exactly. It's like judging a restaurant solely on how many dishes it serves,
Oh, yeah.
but not considering the quality of the food.
Right, or the atmosphere
Exactly. You need to look beyond the number.
to really get the full picture.
And then there's the issue of how those findings are communicated.
Right.
Sometimes those reports are super technical.
Yeah, full of jargon,
Yeah,
hard to understand.
exactly. And that can actually make the information asymmetry worse.
Because the information's there,
Yeah.
but it's not accessible.
Right.
Okay, so based on this research, are there any practical steps that funders and implementers can take to make monitoring and evaluation better
Absolutely.
and avoid these pitfalls?
For monitoring, it's all about communication funders should be creating regular opportunities for implementers to share their experiences,
Okay.
both the good and the bad.
And be willing to make changes based on what they hear.
Exactly. It's about moving away from that top-down approach
Yeah.
and creating a more collaborative partnership.
And implementers, they need to be proactive too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sharing information clearly.
Communicating their
A
needs.
two-way street.
Now, for evaluation, we need to move beyond just measuring outputs.
Like how many wells were dug.
Yeah, and focus more on understanding outcomes and impact.
So how has that well actually changed people's lives?
Exactly. That's the real measure of success.
What about getting input from the community?
That's crucial.
You know, those lived experiences.
Evaluation should be designed to capture those voices and perspectives. What are their experiences? What worked well? What could be improved?
So it's not just external metrics.
Right. It's about incorporating that local knowledge.
And then those findings need to be communicated clearly.
Absolutely ditch the jargon.
Yeah.
Use plain language that everyone can understand.
And if possible, create those face-to-face conversations
Yeah, that's a great idea.
so everyone can ask questions
Yeah, share their perspective.
and really learn from the evaluation
It becomes a dialogue, a shared learning experience.
rather than just a report.
Exactly when it's done well.
Yeah.
Monitoring and evaluation can be powerful tools for change.
this research focused on a single project,
Yeah.
but I think it brings up a bigger question.
Yeah, what about scaling this up? If we
Exactly.
can see this kind of positive impact at the project level,
Right.
how do we apply these principles more broadly to entire programs?
So it's not just about accountability,
Right?
but also learning and continuous improvement.
Exactly, using the data to understand what's working, what's not.
Yeah, and how we can do things better.
It requires that culture of transparency and collaboration.
Across entire organizations, even,
It's a big challenge
but a huge opportunity.
to make development more effective.
I agree. Now, this research highlighted goal incongruence and information asymmetry,
Right.
but I'm wondering if there are other things we should consider,
Yeah. With a
like
pun.
power dynamics,
Yeah.
cultural differences, even human error.
Absolutely. Those are all factors that can influence a project's success
And those are the questions.
that we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive.
You know, we've been talking about how to make these projects more effective, and this research really highlights monitoring and evaluation. But I was thinking about some of the other things that can influence how these projects go, like power dynamics, you know, cultural differences, even just human error.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think those are all really important points that deserve more attention than the research gave them.
Yeah, we can't forget about the human element in all
Yay.
this.
Exactly.
So let's start with power dynamics.
Okay.
There's often this imbalance, right, between funders and implementers.
Yeah.
So how do we make sure that monitoring and evaluation don't just reinforce that,
Right.
but actually help level the playing field?
Yeah, I think that's a really critical thing to consider because, you know, traditional approaches to M&E can feel very top-down.
Yeah.
Funders setting all the rules and implementers feeling pressured to deliver results that fit those metrics.
Right, even if they don't reflect what's really happening.
Yeah.
So how do we shift that dynamic?
Well, I think it starts with acknowledging that that power imbalance exists
Okay.
and then actively working to mitigate it.
So how do we do that?
Well, one way is to involve the implementers and even community members
Okay.
in designing the M&E frameworks right from the start.
So it's about co-creation,
Yeah.
not just imposing a system from the top.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And making sure that everyone has a say in what success looks like and how we measure it.
Because if those indicators aren't meaningful to the people the project's supposed to help,
Right. And the whole evaluation's kind of pointless.
it loses its value. And it's important to create space for honest feedback from implementers,
Yeah.
even if it's critical of the project or the funder.
Right. You need that open dialogue.
Yeah, to build trust and make sure everyone feels heard.
Now, what about cultural differences? How can we make sure that M&E is sensitive to those differences?
That's another really important point.
Yeah, and it doesn't end up like imposing a Western worldview or something.
Right, because culture influences so much, you know, and
Yeah.
how people communicate their perceptions of time, even what success means.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
So we can't just assume that one approach will work everywhere.
Absolutely not. And that's where local knowledge and expertise are so crucial. You
Yeah.
need people who understand those cultural nuances
Right.
and can adapt the M&E processes accordingly.
It's finding that balance right between global standards and local context.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about power dynamics and cultural differences, but what about just the human element?
Right. People make mistakes. We have biases. Things slip through the cracks. How do we account for that in M&E?
That's the reality of any system, right? Even the best design ones is people who are implementing these processes and people aren't perfect.
So how do we build in safeguards?
Well, I think transparency is key.
Okay.
Making the data, the methodologies public so that others can scrutinize them.
So it's like checks and balances.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you want multiple layers of oversight and accountability so you don't have just one person or organization responsible for the whole process.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So if one person makes a mistake or has a
It
bias,
doesn't have too much influence.
and we need to encourage a culture of learning
Absolutely.
and continuous improvement.
Yeah, where people feel comfortable speaking up if they see something wrong, and we have systems in place to address those mistakes.
So creating a culture where it's okay to make mistakes and learn from them.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of trying to hide them.
This has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
Into the world of international development, we've learned so much about how important monitoring and evaluation are for achieving impact.
They're crucial.
So what are your final thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, I think the key takeaway here is that impact in international development doesn't happen by chance. You know, it requires careful planning,
Yeah.
a deep understanding of the context, a commitment to collaboration, and a willingness to learn and adapt.
And it's recognizing that monitoring and evaluation aren't just boxes to check.
Right.
They're powerful tools that can help us make real, meaningful change.
Couldn't agree more.
Well said. Well, that's a wrap on this deep dive. If you found this episode insightful, be sure to check out the full research article. We'll link to it in the show notes. And join us next time as we explore another fascinating topic from the world of knowledge and ideas.